Our message this morning will come from John chapter 8, primarily, where the scribes and Pharisees come to test Jesus by bringing a woman caught in adultery. And Deuteronomy 22 is a passage that the scribes and Pharisees referred to, and so I would like to read a portion of Deuteronomy 22 and keep this in mind as we get into the message of the morning, beginning with verse 13. And we read there, "If any man takes a wife and goes into her and then hates her and accuses her of misconduct and brings a bad name upon her, saying, 'I took this woman, and when I came near her, I did not find in her evidence of virginity,' then the father of the young woman and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of her virginity to the elders of the city in the gate. And the father of the young woman shall say to the elders, 'I gave my daughter to this man to marry, and he hates her. And behold, he has accused her of misconduct, saying, "I did not find in your daughter evidence of virginity, and yet this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity.' And they shall spread the cloak before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He may not divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done an outrageous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. But if in the open country a man meets a young woman who is betrothed, and the man seizes her and lies with her, then only the man who laid with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. She has committed no offense punishable by death. For this case is like that of a man attacking and murdering his neighbor, because he met her in the open country, and though the betrothed young woman cried for help, there was no one to rescue her. If a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed and seizes her and lies with her and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife so that he does not uncover his father's nakedness." May God bless His holy word as we consider it this day. And please turn with me to John chapter 7. Read the last verse of John 7 and then the first 11 verses of John chapter 8. And let's ask for God's blessing as we look to His holy word this morning. O Lord our God, as we come now to meditate upon Your word, we pray that You would open that word to us, that You would, by Your Spirit, guide our hearts as we consider the truth of Your word, that You would open our hearts to believe it, and to apply it as You would apply it in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless Your word, that your word would go forth faithfully, and that we would be ready to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 7:53. They went each one to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and placed her in the midst. Placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and from now on sin no more." May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. As Jesus went about proclaiming the truth of God's word to the people, the opposition of the religious leaders became greater and greater each time Jesus spoke. And as you look, if you look back in the preceding portions of scripture here, we see Jesus coming and teaching, and we see the people coming to him, flocking to him to hear what God was teaching through him. And those who were leaders in Israel were becoming more and more concerned, more and more upset that the people were turning away from them and turning to hear Jesus. Jesus was speaking out against many of their cherished traditions and was making statements about himself that were blasphemous to them. They had to figure out some way to trap him. If only they could get him to deny something clearly taught in Scripture. That might work. Today we'll consider one of their attempts to trap Jesus and how Jesus responds and defeats their attempt. And then we'll see how we're to understand and apply these lessons that Jesus is teaching us here in this part of his word. First of all, we set the background. The scribes and Pharisees come to set the trap for Jesus. And as we see from the earlier portions here, the people had come to hear him. Jesus went to the temple this particular morning. He came there and the people came. They knew he was there. They gathered to hear what he had to say. They knew that he was a special man. They didn't understand all about him, but they knew there was something different about him. If you look back in chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, we read, "About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, 'How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?' So Jesus answered them, 'And my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me.'" Jesus was teaching the Word of God in a powerful way, in a powerful way that amazed the people as they came to hear him, because he hadn't been going through their schools. He didn't have that education that all the scribes and Pharisees prided themselves in. But yet he was preaching and teaching the profound truths of God's Word. And he was teaching in such a way that he was exposing the evil that had been taught by those with all of that education. Jesus' reputation had grown as he made clear the truth of God's Word, and as he had performed miracles that demonstrated his authority over all things, not just that he was a good teacher. And as he was teaching here, the scribes and Pharisees then bring to him a woman who had been caught committing adultery. Someone who had broken the seventh commandment. Someone who had been caught in the act of breaking the seventh commandment. So it was very clear that sin had been committed against God. And they had a plan. Their plan was to ask Jesus what should be done with the woman, and to get Jesus, they hoped, to give an answer that violated the law of Moses. Then they'd bring charges against Jesus and have him condemned by the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body in Israel, in their official session. And then they could use that condemnation to discredit Jesus, to destroy his influence with the people by publicly branding him a transgressor of the law, and perhaps have him condemned to death for this transgression, which was their ultimate goal. And ultimately, they carried that out. Now, as we look at this particular incident, it's important to note that Leviticus 20, verse 10, and Deuteronomy 22:22 taught that a man and woman caught committing adultery were both to be put to death. And so, this was a very serious sin in Israel. Now, these verses don't teach that stoning was to be the method necessarily, but that was a method that they used in Israel, and so it certainly could have been what they would have done. And so we have to ask a question here. Why did the scribes and Pharisees bring only the woman to Jesus? Why did they just bring the woman? If we read those verses, it's pretty clear. Leviticus 20:10 says, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And then in Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge Israel, evil from Israel. By only bringing the woman, they were themselves violating the command given in the law. You see, it was very clear there. It wasn't just the woman who was to be put to death, but it was the man as well, and there was no man brought to Jesus. And they said that they caught them in the act of adultery. So there was no reason that that man should not have been brought as well. By bringing only the woman, they were breaking the law then. And it shows that they really weren't concerned with keeping the law as it was given by God through Moses. They had a different motive as they brought that woman to Jesus. And Jesus knew what the scribes and Pharisees were trying to do. And he responded to them in a way that demonstrated the evil in their hearts. Now, the word used for test in verse 6, definition is to try, to prove in either a good or bad sense, to tempt, to test by soliciting to sin. In this case, it's with evil intent. And it's used in this way in other passages. For example, Mark 8, Verse 11, we read there that the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, that is Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And in Mark 10, 2, the Pharisees came up and in order to test him asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And there's other passages as well that where you can see the Pharisees coming to Jesus and their goal is to get him to somehow say something that is wrong in the light of the Scripture, to prove him to be a false teacher and to get him declared such so that the people would be turned away from him. And so they come to Jesus and they say to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? There's the test. What do you say? Well, there's no record of what he wrote in the ground, but he bent over and he just quietly wrote on the ground, which probably was pretty frustrating to the Pharisees. He could have been writing his condemnation of them in the sand, of the evil in their hearts. Maybe he was writing out what he would declare. We don't know what he was writing, and so we can only speculate, and we shouldn't speculate very much. But then they pressed him for a response, and when he was pressed, Jesus called on whoever was without sin to cast the first stone at the woman. And you note that he's not condoning the woman's sin. It's important to understand that. You can, if you misread this passage, you can end up concluding that, well, it's okay to sin, and Jesus says it's okay to sin. That isn't what he was doing. She's definitely guilty, and he will deal with her in a few moments. But here he's confronting the sin of the scribes and the Pharisees. Their hypocrisy made them unfit to carry out the demands of the law. They were following a double standard. They were condemning the woman for breaking the seventh commandment, while at the same time they were breaking the eighth and ninth commandments as they bear false witness against Jesus and desire to kill him. And so their hearts were not right with God. They are hypocrites. They pretend to know, and they pretend to be the leaders of the people of God who know and understand and proclaim what they are to believe and what they are to do. But they have strayed so far from the Scripture. And their desire is evil. And he brings that clearly before them. And when the scribes and Pharisees heard Jesus' response to their test, they went away one by one. See, none of them met the requirement of being sinless that Jesus declared as the standard for casting that first stone. And they realized that. Even though they thought very highly of themselves, they realized that they were not absolutely perfect. And the elder ones went first, and then those who were younger, as they lost their courage and their confidence, until none were left. There was no one there to condemn that woman. And as we consider what's happened here, there's some important lessons that we need to take from this. And we see, first of all, that Jesus confronts the woman and calls her to repentance. And so Jesus is not condoning her sin. He confronts the scribes and Pharisees first because of the evil in their hearts and the fact that they brought that woman there for the purpose of doing evil, not the purpose of cleansing sin from Israel. Jesus looked up after writing again on the ground, and all the men are gone, all those scribes and Pharisees, and only the woman remains. And he asked if no one condemned her. And the woman replied, no one had done so. Jesus wanted her, when he spoke these words, when he asked her that question, he wanted her to realize what had happened. She was a sinner, and so were they. Even though she was guilty and deserved punishment for her sin, no one of her accusers was qualified to condemn her, because they too were guilty in the sight of God. And then we see Jesus showing the mercy of God graciously granted to those who trust in Him. Now, as all this was transpiring, we don't know exactly what was going on in the mind of that woman, but certainly she came with great fear in her heart when she was brought there, because she knew what those Pharisees and scribes wanted to happen to her. She was to be killed in a brutal way. But as she sees Jesus teaching and confronting their sin, something must have happened. And I think an amazing thing happened. And she realized who it was that she was being confronted with. And Jesus is merciful to her. Note that Jesus did meet the qualification for casting the first stone at the woman. And it's interesting to think about that. Jesus could have cast the first stone because he was without sin. He had no sin within him. He was not guilty. And he could have picked up that first stone and cast it at the woman. And the implication was, once the first stone was thrown, then the others could do as they wished. But Jesus forgave her sin, because what he would soon do to redeem her, she put her trust in him for deliverance. And we don't know exactly what happened in her heart, and so we have to be a little careful as we think about this. But here she is confronted by Jesus, God the Son. And Jesus had a purpose in dealing with her graciously. Certainly she deserved the penalty of death. If you read the Old Testament there, it's very clear. There's no doubt that that was a legitimate punishment for what she had done. But Jesus would pay the penalty of death for her and clothe her with his righteousness. Even though her sin was so serious as to deserve the death penalty, Jesus was able to atone for it and provide the way for her sin to be forgiven. And Jesus calls on her then to truly repent of her sin. He doesn't tell her, as some of our liberal friends might say, just be careful, don't get caught again. Our society would say that, I think. Jesus doesn't say that to her. Jesus makes clear to her that she is to turn completely from her sin. She is to go and live a life of obedience to the Lord. As the Lord, He has the right and authority to demand this. And He does. And so, we need to be very careful not to assume that Jesus is just letting her get away with the adultery that was committed. He makes clear to her, and she understands, I believe, that she is guilty. She deserved death. But God, in His mercy, is gracious to her. And as we meditate on what happened here, we should observe carefully what Jesus is teaching. You see, you and I are sinners as well. We may not have committed the exact sin that this woman committed. Not physically, maybe in our minds. We might have committed that sin. There are other sins in our lives. You know your heart and I know mine. And none of us can stand on our own as righteous in the sight of God. None of us. We all deserve that penalty that that woman faced. That penalty of death for sin. But God is gracious. And for all He calls to Himself and gives that new life that we may believe, He takes our sin upon Himself. He took that sin and it was nailed to the cross. And we are delivered. If you and I are trusting in Him alone for our salvation, that blessing is ours. That blessing is ours. And we need to rejoice in that. And as we understand the grace of God toward us, we must also heed that command given by Jesus to that woman. Go, and from now on, sin no more. It's not an easy command to follow. The command is for you and I, as we recognize the grace of God, to go forth doing those good works He has prepared for us to do, and turning away from our sin, that we may show His grace, and we may show our joy at receiving that grace, and our thankfulness. And so it's out of thankful hearts that we go and sin no more. Now, we know that we do sin, but we also know that as we confess our sin, He is gracious and merciful toward us. But it doesn't give us license just because He's gracious to continue in our sin. And so, the call upon you and upon me, we need to evaluate ourselves. We need to be thinking about where we stand with God and His call upon us to be faithful to Him, to turn away from our sin, to turn and trust in Him, and to follow His commands, to be more and more like Christ. We're only made righteous in the sight of God because Jesus paid the penalty of death we deserve for our sin. And because He sends His Holy Spirit to give new life to our dead souls. If you're trusting in Jesus and Him alone, that blessing is yours. And then as we work together as a church, we need to be very careful, and particularly the leaders of the church, we need to be very careful not to fall into the evil of the scribes and Pharisees. And there's a serious command here upon us. It It's not a direct command, but as we look at this passage, we look at the rest of the New Testament, Jesus dealing with those scribes and Pharisees, they had a lot of learning. They had studied so much. They should have known. And as leaders of God's people, they were leading the people astray. What terrible condemnation falls to those who lead God's people astray. And so those of us who are leaders in the church, we need to take heed. And we need to be very careful in our leading of God's people. The truth of God's Word must shine forth. And we must turn from our sin, trust in Christ, acknowledge Him in all things, and rejoice in His goodness. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, as we consider what happened in this incident where the woman was brought to Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your grace. For the grace that He and the mercy that He demonstrated toward her. And for the grace and the mercy that You demonstrate toward us in sending Him to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, we deserve the same punishment that she did. And yet, by Your grace, You deliver us from it. And You make us righteous as the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. And we thank You for that, Lord. For we cannot make ourselves sufficiently righteous, and we know it. But we know that You're able to do that. And Lord, we confess our sin before You. We may not have done exactly what that woman had done, but we each know that we are sinners, that we deserve Your wrath, that we deserve that penalty of eternal death. And so we confess our sin, but we give You thanks, Lord, that through Christ we are delivered, and we really are delivered. And we have eternal life with You even now as we trust alone in Christ. And so bless us with understanding, with wisdom, and help us, O God, to go and sin no more. May that be our desire in our hearts, our deep desire in our hearts. And where we struggle with sin, O God, we pray that You would impress this command of Jesus upon us, upon our hearts and upon our minds, that we would turn from sin and that we would seek to be like Him in all things. And we look forward to that day, O Lord, when You will make us perfect as we go to be with You forever. We thank You. We praise You. We rejoice in Your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen.